You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey there, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. My name's Clint Clifton, and today we're going to talk about kids ministry. This is not something we normally talk about on the New Churches Podcast, but we have a brand new resource coming out that our team is so excited about. It's called 10 Steps to Developing a Children's Ministry, and this ministry worker that I've worked with for a long time named Danielle Wheatley has created this course, and I worked with Danielle, and we used this course in the Washington, D.C. area to help equip churches and church planters and their teams and kids ministry directors in new churches and in campuses to help get the word out about what the best practices are in starting kids ministry. And so whether you're a children's ministry director of a new church or you're looking to grow your children's ministry, this course, 10 Steps to Developing a Children's Ministry, is for you. You can join Danielle Wheatley as she explores how to lead the children that have been entrusted to your ministry, how to equip parents also to make disciples and be disciple makers in the home. And the course just really lays a great biblical foundation for generations of Christ followers to come. So 10 Steps to Developing a Children's Ministry is absolutely free, like all of the resources on newchurches.com, and it's available now for you to download. So Danielle, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. I love every opportunity we have to talk about kids ministry together.
Yes. Well, Danielle, as a note and by way of introduction, you served as a kids ministry director in a multi-site church where you helped start children's ministries at different campuses. That's kind of how you got your feet wet in this ministry. And then God called you and your family after having helped. You know, so you sort of went from doing campus launches to helping launch new churches and their kids ministry. And then you guys founded a nonprofit called Solid Foundation Kids. And you guys aim in that to train and equip and advise churches and church plants on how to lay a solid foundation for their kids ministry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's true. It started with the campus launch, which at the time, you know, I didn't see how the Lord was really going to use that, honestly, to fashion out how he would have our family do ministry for the next decade. But doing that first church launch at a campus, there were so many things that we had to learn, such as how to, you know, do church in different locations. We did not have our own church building. And we really were in a situation where at least once a month, they kind of kicked us out of the venue because there was a show going on there. So we were in, you know, every sort of venue you can imagine, schools and community rooms and hotels. And every time that they told us that we couldn't use our venue, I remember us thinking, oh no, what are we going to do? Let's figure this out. And looking back, what an amazing opportunity that the Lord had for me at that season. And now that he's had us be part of, you know, so many different church plants, getting to see church in so many different venues and really learning, you know what, we can really do church. We are God's body meeting together. It's not about the building. It's about God's people. And we can do this wherever God has, you know, allowed us to be. And so it was such an amazing experience on that very first time. And since then, being able to see churches meet in so many different places, it's just been such a blessing.
Yeah. Well, in our time working together, one of the things that you've done that's been so exceptional, there's sort of a lag sometimes when it comes to volunteers and kids ministry. There's sort of a sense that, oh, we have to do this. This is kind of a drag. It's part of the process of starting a new church or running a church, but it's not something we're really excited about. And you have, in every environment I've worked with you, you've been exceptional at talking about kids ministry in a way that actually changes the mindset of the volunteer. So talk to us. I mean, imagining you're talking mainly to church planters and pastors here who are going to be instilling energy in the people that are serving as volunteers with them about kids ministry. Talk to us about kids ministry in the way that you do that will help us to understand why it's so vital.
Yes, no, it's such a wonderful question. Thanks so much, Clint. Because truly, being part of kids ministry, part of the goal and of the seminar that we do, my biggest thing is if your takeaway is that you really see the vision and for why we're actually doing kids ministry in the first place, both the biblical perspective for it, as well as just really the vision behind it, and you leave with that, I think that's going to be a success. Because truly, when we view kids ministry, what we constantly are sharing is that we are not babysitting. We're not just, you know, looking at the clock and trying for the time to pass by, but we're really taking God's call seriously to invest in the next generation. You know, I think of the Israelites, and over again in scripture, they were told to pass these things on to the next generation. You know, there were times where they were told, you know, put this stone pile here so that when your children ask you, you can tell them what God did here. You know, I think of Psalm 78, where it says, teach these things to your children. And then it says that the next generation should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. And unfortunately for the Israelites, many times they struggled with this, and we would see as soon as the judge or the leader would pass away, the next generation would immediately give themselves over to following false gods. And so it's just so important to pass these things on to the next generation, to share with them about the true and living God, and so that it will outlast us. And Psalm 78 says that they can then teach the next generation, the children yet unborn. So I just think it's so powerful to have this mindset of, yeah, what we're doing in kids ministry, we're investing in the next generation. We're fulfilling what God has commanded us to do. And I also, part of the seminar, we talk about Jesus' perspective on kids ministry. And we just go back to the stories that we've all heard, but when the children came to Jesus, and that not only was he angry, you know, he was indignant with the disciples for trying to send the kids away, but he went a step further and he actually used the kids as an example for the adults to emulate in coming to Christ for salvation. Yeah, you know, he said, all of you adults, you know, the ones who thought they were more worthy of Jesus' time and attention, but you actually have to change and become like these little ones to enter the kingdom. And then he went a step further, you know, and he said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So there's just in the seminar, we really unpack, well, what does this mean for us? But just in a nutshell, that Jesus valued the children. He took the time to minister to the children. It says he put his arms on them and he blessed them. But he also used them as an example in salvation. And this is what I'm so passionate about, is that many times we see, you know, like the faith of a child and Jesus referencing for salvation, because for salvation, we have to have the faith like a child to understand, you know what, it's nothing that I can do to earn my salvation. It's a free gift of God, and I have to humble myself to do that. And that's why many times Jesus brought a child to the crowd when he's talking about, you have to humble yourself like this little child. And so when we think of the faith of a child, I say, picture a child on a ledge jumping, you know, with arms open wide to their parent. I know we have kids. We have six kids, my husband James and I, and our kids, especially in the two-year-old, three-year-old stage, I mean, when they are on those stairs, they will want to jump to you with arms open wide. And they just know you'll catch them. There's not a doubt in their mind. It's just, you know, but when you're an adult and maybe you're going to take that jump, you think of things differently. You might start to doubt. You might, oh, I've seen this before. And do I want to take this step? But also you might even think, you know what? I know this person could catch me, but you know what? I don't even think I need them. Like, step aside, I got this. So when we talk about faith like a child, we're talking about a child who, you know, it's that whole picture of jumping arms open wide to Jesus, knowing I need you, I can't do this on my own, and I'm accepting your gift of salvation. And so when we see children, they're in this many times, they're receptive to the things of God. And we talk about how kids are forming their worldview, their basic beliefs about life. Some Barna studies indicate that by the time a child is 9 years old, they've already formed their basic moral foundation for life. We talk about salvation, and that, you know, by the time a child is, 17, almost all people have made that profession of faith. So just what we try to focus on that is such a really critical point in a person's life where they are open to the things of God many times, and they're forming their worldview, their basic beliefs about God. And so at us as parents, as spiritual leaders of the church, we really want to take advantage of this opportunity that God has given us to invest during these critical and influential years of a person's life, to do what Jesus did, to value the children, to, you know, bring them together, to bless them, but also to pour into them scripture and the things that we pray, that they'll have such a solid foundation in their hearts and minds as a child, the Lord willing will last the rest of their lives. And as Psalm 78 says, that they can pass on to the next generation. So yeah, that's just in a nutshell, casting this vision of God has given us, you know, he tells us to tell these things to the next generation, but also just seeing the potential essential for a person as a child to have faith in Christ, and then Lord willing to have such a strong root of in their hearts that God willing that will last the rest of their life.
Yeah, Danielle, that's amazing. That's the kind of thing I was talking about, that kind of like a zeal and energy that you bring to talking about kids ministry is infectious in a church environment. And I think that's a lesson for all of us as pastors and church leaders. Like, people will pick up on our tone about kids ministry. If we talk about it like it's a drag, then probably people will pick up on it's a drag and they'll act like that. But if we bring kind of energy and optimism to them, we'll find that volunteers are excited to participate and they see it as a ministry. I know the kids ministry director at the church that I lead is, it has a similar type of energy as you do when it comes to talking about kids ministry. And it's just been amazing to watch the perspective of our people turn from, man, I hate doing this, to I can't wait till it's my opportunity to serve the kids in this way. And so thanks so much for that. And pastor, church leader, as you're listening, this is critical for you to be able to step into the space where you're interacting with volunteers and leaders with a sense of like honor and optimism and joy that will be able to, you know, be contagious among your leaders. So, Danielle, one of the unique things about kids ministry in new churches is that often, and we've already touched on this a little bit, but often we're in really unusual spaces and less than ideal spaces. And so talk to the church planner who's faced with the reality that they're having to have church in a hallway, or, I mean, I've seen church plants have their kids ministry in adjacent spaces, like in other buildings near their building, sometimes in buses even, and things like that outside, really not ideal spaces. Talk to the church planner who's facing a situation like that, and what kind of advice would you give them?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that at first when I would see spaces, I think back to some of the earliest times where they had brought us to a space and they said, this is where your preschool is going to be. This is where your elementary is going to be. And at first, I remember seeing a ticket lobby, just a place where they sold tickets, kind of a hard floor, like just all these things. And at first, kind of looked at them like, really, can we actually do this? And now looking back, that was one of our best spaces that I've had, a theater venue. And there's so many things that you can do. And I love it because we talk about this in the seminar, we show pictures, but there's really basic things such as adding color, adding pops of color. We always start with decorating the floor because many times we can't add our own decorations at certain venues, but we decorate the floor, we get colorful mats, which also help serve as, you know, cleanliness so kids can sit on them, but they're colorful. They have, you know, fun designs on them, and instantly it can make a room that looks drab all of a sudden look exciting. And you know, things like when you buy a gate, like you never just go with the gray gate, you get the multicolored gate. And so we talk about just different tips of adding pops of color, ways that you can make it safe and kid friendly. And partly too is some people are, why are we even doing this? You know, it's just a space. But honestly, it makes a big difference to your kids, but it also makes a big difference to your parents. You know, our parents are coming into these venues. Maybe it's, you know, not a typical place you do church, and they come and they see these fun kid spaces, and instantly it takes the, wow, they put effort into this to make it special for my child. This is going to be a safe place for my child. It communicates all these things to them by seeing that we took the time to make this space look fun, look kid friendly and safe. And so, yeah, I love going through this part in the seminar. We show before and after pictures, but really it's an encouragement to you. If you think you're in a situation where, oh my goodness, this is a really hard spot, there are so many things that you can do, honestly, in almost any given spot to make it look fun and kid friendly when you follow those tips. And also with encouragement to you, I shared the story that we were at a venue at one point. We had just, this is when we were at the campuses and people had come from the original campus. You know, it's a big church campus. They had a huge puppet stage. They had, I mean, all the works. It was called the Treehouse. And one week they brought their daughter back to that campus because they were, you know, doing something special that weekend. And they had told her, we're going to go to your old church. It's going to be so special. We're going to be so excited. And she, you know, was kind of sad. And they were like, well, what's wrong? And, you know, she was like, oh, I'm going to miss my church. Like, and you know, it's going to be okay. So at the end of the service, they pick her up. Like, did you have fun? And she said, yeah, like it was great. They had puppets. That she said, but I want to go back to my church last week. I miss my church. And I remember being so encouraged from that because, you know, we're kind of always judging, well, you know, we don't have all the bells and whistles and, you know, this church has, But for her, that was her church, and we had made her feel loved and connected, and that was her place to come and join a godly community as a preschooler and learn about the Lord. And we did all that we could to make it fun and kid-friendly and all of those things. And yes, we didn't have all the bells and whistles, but it was her church. So I also encourage you with that. It's if that's the place that God has called you to do ministry, like that's the place where you can build community and pour into your kids. And there's so many things that are more important than, you know, all the things that we might think are the most important to a child. So I think that should be an encouragement as well. But also there is so many things that we can do. Like I said, I've been to so many different locations. You and I, Clint, have been in probably one of the hardest locations I was at. But we had a great time, and the kids, my kids, because, you know, they're always part of the church plans. We still have such fond memories, and we talk about, you know, they never mentioned to me, oh, well, why were we in this place? They remember what they learned. They remember their friends. They remembered, you know, what God did there.
Right. Yeah. We were, just to be more explicit, we were meeting in not one, but two bars in downtown Washington, D.C. One bar was on top of the other bar. And so we had kids ministry in one bar and the worship service in the lower bar. And so you literally had to go up. And we would get there sometimes on Sunday mornings and it would be kind of dirty. Yeah. And we'd have to clean up and move a bunch of tables out of the way. But you made a safe, fun, engaging kids ministry space in the middle of a nasty bar. And if you can do it there, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah, I think that is the space that I say that about. If you can do it there, yeah, you can do it wherever God's opened you the space. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that makes a kids ministry leader or a kids ministry worker great is that, I mean, kids ministry, like church planning as a whole, is fraught with challenges and difficulties. There's all kinds of tough stuff. But the fact that you have, I mean, I keep saying the same thing, but like an optimistic, positive outlook and an excited, encouraged outlook about the opportunity we have to invest in the lives of children, even in the midst of all the logistical challenges, is a game changer in terms of a relationship that a church planter would have with a kids ministry director. So one of the things, I mean, my relationship with you and with Lydia, our other kids ministry director, has made me think, one of the chief characteristics I'm always going to look for in a kids ministry director is somebody who has a can-do sort of spirit and an optimistic attitude and really genuinely wants to disciple kids and have them have a great experience.
Yeah. And like you said, Clint, it's contagious. You know, it's like, it's that passion and energy. And for a pastor, the pastor's listening to this, for them to really catch on to the vision of, wow, what we're doing is we are investing in the next generation and our next leaders. We're pouring into them the word of God and laying a strong foundation of truth in their hearts and minds. This type of attitude is going to not only create volunteers who will just come fill a need because, oh, please come help us, like fill this gap, but they're going to become excited about it. They're going to be the long-term leaders because they've caught on to the eternal, like we're actually investing in eternity by, you know, in our kids ministry, by pouring into these children. And so those are going to be your lasting volunteers. And they're going to bring, again, that passion for, we're not just babysitting, but we are pouring into the next generation and doing something that will outlast us and impact eternity.
Yeah, that's so true. Let's talk about the seminar itself a little bit. We've referenced it a few times already. Again, background on this seminar, we were using this in the Baltimore, Washington area, interacting with churches, trying to give an overview to their kids' ministries. This was also, the content of the seminar was being used to actually train church planners. One of the residency sessions was given to this generally. Mm-hmm. And so... But we wanted to capture this on video and make it available to anybody. How do you intend a church planner to use this as it relates to his team or his volunteers? Like, just kind of cast a vision for us of how you imagine it to be used.
Yeah. So I know I love it because we initially did it to a group of church planners and some children's directors. And something that I saw after it, which really encouraged me, and I was really like, this is why we're doing it, is I had people, even actually someone from your church, Clint, and the Pillar Dumfries, the Hispanic part of the church, but they had told me, wow, we really used the seminar as such a base for the way we developed our ministry. Cause you know, it's the 10 steps. So they went through all 10 steps and we have a checklist in the end. And she was telling me like, this was such a huge help to when we were putting the foundation for our kids ministry. So for me, when we were partnering together to make this, I was thinking, man, what would I wish I would have had? Because, you know, the first time after I left the multi-campus church and we just started from scratch, starting a kids ministry, I was thinking, man, it would be so helpful if I actually had all this stuff together. Like, I don't see something else out there where all the basic steps are here. And because sometimes it's like, I have to do 1,000 hours of research on what do I even need to do to start a kids ministry. But this, like, the fact that the Lord's already brought me through that, it's like, okay, I know there's different things that we need to do. But the hope was, let's put it all together so that, man, what do I wish I had during those early phases that could really help me start strong? And because one thing that we're passionate about is, you know, it's a lot better and easier to start on a strong foundation than, oh man, we started and it's kind of rocky and we need to go back and kind of pull up the foundation again and put the, so no, we're really praying, God, use the seminar to help people to start off on a strong foundation so that the really most important things are in place. And I always encourage people, even when they use the seminar, you know, you're going to build, you're going to grow a year later from when you start your kids ministry, it's going to be a completely different place, but you are laying that strong foundation that you're going to be able to build off for years to come. So the hope is that people will take the seminar and the 10 basic steps and, you know, apply it to their ministry, because so many of them, you know, relate to really any ministry, including an existing church plant. We've had existing churches now who are using it, you know, just to kind of look back and kind of how's our church doing on these different things. And that was really encouraging. So I just went out to a church in Missouri and we did the whole seminar with them. And they're kind of relaunching kind of post COVID, but they've been there for, you know, 100 years, this church. But being able to use these steps to see how is our kids ministry really, are we making the right things a priority? Are we, you know, casting the right vision? And how are we doing with the basic steps, such as, do we have policies and procedures set in place? Do we have, are we using our space in the right way? Which curriculum are we using? You know, how do we do expenses? All the different things, so they can kind of look at it both as a tool to help them lay a foundation, but also to see, hey, you know, where are we at when it comes to all these important basic steps? So yeah, the hope is that it's everything that I wish I had when I first starting kids ministries from scratch. The hope is to save people from maybe making different mistakes that you learn when you just kind of got to learn through experience, and that, Lord willing, it can kind of really set a strong foundation. And honestly, the most important thing to me about the seminar is the vision aspect. The very first part is the biblical mindset on kids ministry, and then parents partnering with the church. Like, what is the church's role versus the parents' role? Those are my two favorite sessions. So my hope is that as a pastor watching it, or as a kids ministry director, that they don't just leave with, oh, these are really helpful practical steps I can take, how I can make my space fun, how I can make things safe, how I can do this, but also, wow, I am just so excited and fired up to share with my church congregation the passion behind kids ministry and really be able to set the tone for the biblical perspective of why we're doing this in the first place. And so, Lord willing, that to me is the most important part of it.
So pastors and church planners are the audience here. They're listening to this podcast, and many of them are in the midst of the process of choosing somebody to lead their kids ministry. Talk to us about the qualities that they should be looking for in a children's ministry director.
Yes, so good. And this is, I'm so glad you asked this question, Clint, because every time that we would do the seminar to the group of live church planners, you know, with your group, at the end, we would always have questions and the answers. And one of the biggest questions was about finding their kids director. And then another one was in regards to their wife being involved. So I'll address that too, because that seems to be a very common thing that a lot of pastors and their pastors' wives are being part of the kids ministry. But I'd say when you're looking for someone, it's someone who, again, they realize that they're not just babysitting again, but they're doing something that will impact eternity, because this is going to cast the vision to everyone they recruit. But it's also someone who's very solid, both biblically as well as has discernment in, you know, safety of children. And so this is the person overseeing the kids ministry program. So when it comes to curriculum, when it comes to content, you know, their eyes should really be able to pick up, because, you know, there's so many things that are important. We want the kids to have fun. We want it to be this and that, but we want the, you know, what they're getting, the word of God, things to be solid, and that they're learning the right things. As teachers, you know, we're commanded that we have a high responsibility to make sure these kids are being trained the right things. And so I think making sure this person is solid, has solid discernment biblically, to be able to, you know, see things in the curriculum and pick out, make sure that they're getting the kids the right things, as well as discernment both for safety. You could have, again, an amazing ministry. If the kids are not safe, though, the entire ministry is at risk. And of course, we don't want anything happening that could not just hurt the kids ministry, but the entire church. So discernment for safety and, you know, policies and procedures, just knowing that the safety of our kids, especially for parents, knowing that my kids are safe. So someone who has discernment biblically as well as for safety and being able to oversee. A lot of what a kids ministry director does is they're overseeing it. So they don't always get to be on the front lines. They might not be the one that's, you know, in the small groups with the kids, giving the Bible story. They're overseeing, they're pouring into volunteers. They're training people so that they can reproduce themselves and so they can multiply. And so I think that's a really big thing too, is someone who's able to delegate, or even if they're teachable and you can teach them, someone who's open to learning these things, but to be able to delegate, because as a kids ministry director, they're going to be most effective if they're able to train others in all the different things that you're seeking to do. So someone might say, oh, I'm really good at, you know, being in front of the kids, but oh, actually I have noticed that you have a passion for this. How can I pour into you so you're going to be able to do this, and then you're going to reproduce yourself? And because a lot of times there's burnout in kids ministry, and sometimes I think a lot of the time this happens, and I've seen it happen at many churches, is one person's doing everything. Partly maybe they think they don't have the time, or they don't necessarily even, they might think, oh, well, I'm just really good at this. And maybe they are, but seeing potential in people to be able to pour yourself into them and reproduce yourself in them. And that takes time up front. But then eventually when you're pouring into people and you're developing new leaders, that's going to avoid burnout. And it's also going to be an effective way of ministry to multiply yourself. And we talk about that in the seminars. We talk about Moses and, you know, how his father-in-law came and said, what you're doing is not good. And then he told him, you know, about how delegating and spreading out the responsibilities. So I think someone who can delegate and to train other leaders is very important for kids ministry. And that leads me to that question that that pastors always ask at the Q&A, which is, my wife is leading the kids ministry. Many times they ask the question about, because she's getting burnt out or it's all on her. And I think it's wonderful for pastors' wives to be involved in kids ministry. I think it's a wonderful thing. And I think being able to come alongside her, is this part of delegation, right? Is being able to acknowledge, okay, there's all these people with gifts, and how can we be able to delegate so it's not on one person, and that they're multiplying themselves. And again, I think whenever a person is always in the kids ministry, there's almost always burnout. So being able to support that person and encourage them to come into service. But a lot of that's going to happen when the pastor is going to be an advocate for the kids ministry. Like, you know, how are you doing with your volunteers? We're going to help you recruit, and we're going to share the passion behind what we're doing. That's going to be a huge part of helping to recruit, to avoid burnout, and to be able to multiply your leadership.
Wow, Danielle, that's so helpful. And I just can imagine that church planters who are listening to this are envisioning the people on their team that have those qualities and characteristics and are going to be able to help. So thank you so much for spending the time talking to me today, but also just for making this seminar. And so I just want to remind you again, when you hear this podcast, the 10 Steps to Developing a Children's Ministry seminar will be live, free, video-based, with some supplementary resources available on newchurches.com on the courses page. So go there and check it out. You might want to gather a team of your volunteers to participate in that, or maybe it's even something that you would require new volunteers to walk through as they're onboarding. A great great option for you in terms of the course. So check that out, 10 Steps to Developing a Kids Ministry on newchurches.com.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us, or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.